William was walking jauntily along the road from Hadley. The usual summer fair was visiting the town, and William had spent a very enjoyable afternoon riding upon merry-go-rounds, flying in flying boats, and sliding down helter-skelters. He was dishevelled and penniless, but blissfully happy. He was just indulging in a pleasant daydream in which an enlightened parliament had decreed that every boy must attend a fair instead of school, when he almost ran into another boy who stood gazing wistfully in the direction of the fairground. "I say," he said, "is that a fair down there?"
"Yep,"
answered William through a mouthful of elastic toffee.
"You just been to it?"
"Yep."
"How long's it going on?"
"Today's the last day."
The boy looked at William, and the light of a great purpose began to shine in his eye.
"Would you like a jolly good tea?" he said. "Lots of iced cakes and chocolate biscuits and jelly and nice things like that."
"You bet," said William.
"Would you like me to tell you how to get it?"
"You bet," said William again.
"Well, it's like this. I've come over here by train from Allington to have tea with my godmother, who's staying in Hadley. Well, I jolly well want to go to this fair. You've been to the fair, so if you'll go to my godmother's to tea instead of me, I can go to this fair and have a jolly nice time."
"But she'll know I'm not you," objected William.
"No, she won't. She's never seen me since I was a baby. She's been living in Australia for years. Go on, she'll give you a jolly fine tea, jelly and trifle and chocolate biscuits and ice cakes."
William considered the situation in silence. It sounded simple enough, but he had learnt from experience to distrust situations that sounded simple. The boy gazed longingly down the road in the direction of the fair.
"Oh, be a sport," he pleaded. "I'll get into an awful row if I don't go. She'll never know it's not me. She's only come over to England for a visit, so probably she'll never see me again. Go on, she might give you a tip."
William was weakening, influenced less by the thought of the tea and the tip than by the strong spice of adventure that the situation contained.
"All right," he said. "Tell me where she lives, and I'll do it."
The boy gave a whoop of joy, took a letter from his pocket, thrust it at William, and set off at a run down the road towards the fair.
"Hi," shouted William. "I don't know your name."
Faintly, the breeze brought back a name that sounded like Lawrence Redwood, but already the boy was out of sight. William gazed at the letter. It was addressed to Mrs. Maddox, Mount Cottage, East Road, Hadley. He pulled up his socks and made his way apprehensively to East Road. The door was opened by a motherly-looking woman who was evidently Mrs. Maddox herself.
"It's Lawrence, isn't it?" she greeted him with a beaming smile. "Come in, dear. Nice to see you after all these years."
William entered, experiencing a swift sinking of the heart as the door closed behind him. Mrs. Maddox, however, was still smiling at him benignly, with her head on one side.
"I saw you last when you were about 2 months old, love, and I do believe I can still see the likeness. I believe I'd have almost recognised you again, wouldn't you, Charles?"
Evidently there was a Mr. Maddox. A suntanned, white-haired man had joined her in the hall and was also surveying William with smiling interest.
"How do you do, Lawrence?" said Mr. Maddox, genially. "Very nice to see you. Have you come by train?"
"No," said William, and hastily corrected it to, yes.
"And he's brought a nice long letter from his mother," went on Mrs. Maddox. "So let's go and sit down in the drawing room and read it. I'm sure Lawrence is tired with his journey."
William fixed a stony stare on them while they read the letter, steeling himself to parry as best he could any questions they might ask him. But Mr. Maddox said,
"Well, I'm sure Lawrence doesn't want to sit here all afternoon telling us about his family. Come in and have some tea, my boy."
William followed them across the hall to the dining room, and there was spread a feast to which even Lawrence's description had failed to do justice. There was fruit salad and blancmange as well as jelly, and doughnuts as well as iced cake and chocolate biscuits.
"You see, I haven't forgotten what boys like," smiled Mrs. Maddox. "Now, the more you eat, the better we'll be pleased, so you can start at once."
William started at once. His host and hostess watched him with obvious pleasure.
"Well, I'm glad to see you've got your appetite back, Lawrence," said Mrs. Maddox. "In your mother's letter, she says you've had a very poor appetite since your attack of influenza, so I was afraid that all my trouble over this tea would be wasted."
No, explained William, as well as he could through a mouthful of doughnut. "Oh, no, my appetite's come back all right. I sort of felt it come back in the train on my way here."
"Ha ha, that's good," chuckled Mr. Maddox.
The whole thing was going off better than William had dared to hope.
He even began to have dreams of a fairly substantial tip. After tea, they returned to the drawing-room, and Mr. Maddox proceeded to show William his collection of Australian photographs. Furtively, William watched the clock. Only 10 minutes, and he could go. But then he glanced out of the window and saw a sight that froze his blood, for Miss Milton, a friend of his mother's, was coming up the path to the front door. William's eyes bulged with horror. I've got to go now. I've got a train to catch. Now, at once. But he was too late. Miss Milton shook hands with her hostess, explaining that she had a cousin who knew a friend of Mrs. Maddox who had asked her to call. Then she threw a cold glance at William, for relations between them were not cordial, and said, "Well, William, I didn't expect to find you here." William himself was past speech, but Mrs. Maddox said, "Oh, no, this is Lawrence Redwood, my godson. He's just come over from Allington to have tea with us." Miss Milton looked at William in indignant amazement. William met her gaze with an utterly expressionless countenance. "But," began Miss Milton, "I could have sworn... What did you say his name was?"
"Lawrence Redwood."
"And he's your godson?"
"Yes."
Her doubt deepened. She could have sworn that it was William Brown. But after all, this woman must know her own godson. She looked at William again. It was astounding, but... The last flicker of doubt died away. She must write a letter to the Daily Torch. She must get photographs of the two boys and send them. "Do you know," she burst out, "I know a boy who is the exact image of your godson. His name's William Brown." She turned to William. "Perhaps he's some relation of yours." William, who had now rallied his forces, shook his head.
"No," he said, "I've never heard of him."
"But it's simply remarkable. I really must bring this boy to you so that you can see the likeness. I'll go straight back for him now. He lives quite close to my home. You really must see these two boys together. It's literally a phenomenon."
She shook hands with the bewildered Mr. and Mrs. Maddox and took her departure.
"I've got to go now,"
said William as soon as she had vanished. But at that moment the telephone rang and Mrs. Maddox went to answer it.
"Oh, that was your mother, dear," she said when she returned. "I'm afraid that Sybil's got scarlet fever."
"Sybil?" repeated William blankly.
"Yes, she's the sister next to you, isn't she?"
Yes.
"So I'm afraid you'll have to be in quarantine. They sent for the doctor and he says that you must be in quarantine. So I said you might as well stay and spend your quarantine with us, because your mother'll have her hands full with Sybil and the baby and the others. You'll be one less to look after at home anyway, won't you?"
William's eyes were glassy with horror.
Yes, he said weakly. "Yes."
"So I said you can stay quietly with us till your quarantine's over. She's going to send you things round tomorrow. And you know, dear boy, I think the best thing for you to do now is to have a hot carbolic bath and go straight to bed. You can have one of my husband's nightshirts till your things come."
William stared about him wildly. He was picturing the real Lawrence innocently returning to a home which fondly imagined him settled down to a peaceful quarantine with the Maddoxes. He was picturing his own parents searching for him with anxious fury when he failed to return from the fair in time for supper. There must be some way out of the situation. He still hadn't thought of it when Mrs. Maddox came back to tell him the carbolic bath was ready. He still hadn't thought of it when he sat in bed in a strange room, arrayed in one of Mr. Maddox's nightgowns, and Mrs. Maddox stood by him, folding up his clothes.
"I'll take him down when I bring up your supper, dear, and give him a good baking."
Being left alone in the strange bedroom, with no protection against the world but Mr. Maddox's nightgown, spurred William on to desperate action. He sprang out of bed, hastily put on his clothes, and, opening the window, swarmed down the drainpipe with a skill born of long practice. The idea of escaping to his own home was a tempting one, but he felt a certain responsibility towards the absent Lawrence. He must find him. He set off to the fairground, running so fast that he did not see a woman coming towards him. She caught him by the arm. It was Miss Milton.
"I've just been to your home for you, William," she exclaimed, "but they said you hadn't come back from the fair yet. I want you to come with me, dear boy, because I've discovered another boy who bears an almost miraculous likeness to you."
She drew him forcefully back to the house from which he'd just escaped. The door was opened by Mr. Maddox. He stared at William in amazement.
"Oh, here's Lawrence, dear," he called over his shoulder. "It can't be Lawrence," his wife's voice replied from the drawing-room. "Lawrence is in bed. I've just left him there."
No, said Miss Milton triumphantly. It's not Lawrence. It's William Brown, that boy I told you about. Now, isn't the likeness astonishing?
She turned to Mrs. Maddox, who had now come into the hall.
Literally astonishing? But it is Lawrence, gasped Mrs. Maddox. No, that's just the astonishing part. It isn't Lawrence. You've told us yourself that Lawrence is in bed upstairs. Besides, I know this boy well. His mother's a friend of mine. Tell them what your name is, dear.
William Brown, said William, gazing in front of him with a glassy stare. Mrs. Maddox looked at him.
Well, it's extraordinary, she said faintly. You'd swear it was Lawrence. Come upstairs and look at Lawrence very quietly because he may be asleep by now, and don't go right into the room because he's in quarantine for scarlet fever.
William looked desperately round for escape, but already he was ascending the stairs with Mrs. Maddox in front of him and Miss Milton behind. Softly, Mrs. Maddox opened the bedroom door and peeped in.
He's not there, she said.
She turned to William.
You must be Lawrence, she cried distractedly. But I tell you, I've known this boy all his life, persisted Miss Milton. His name's William Brown.
Suspicion was changing to certainty in Mrs. Maddox's eyes.
Well, all I can say is he's the boy who...
William saw that there was nothing for it but flight. He plunged down the stairs. The front door was open, but a boy stood there blocking his way. The boy grabbed him.
I say, where are you off to? He said.
He no longer looked neat and debonair. He looked dusty and dishevelled, as befitted a boy who had spent the afternoon gloriously at a fair. But it was, indubitably, the real Lawrence. Mrs. Maddox and Miss Milton had now arrived on the scene. The boy was making profuse apologies to William.
"I'm terribly sorry to come barging in and messing everything up like this," he said, "but I've spent all my money at the fair and lost my return ticket, so I simply had to come."
Mrs. Maddox raised her hand to her head.
Who is this boy?
She said in a faint voice.
I'm Lawrence Redwood, said the newcomer. Then who,
said Mrs. Maddox, pointing to William,
is this boy?
I don't know, said the real Lawrence. He's just a boy I met in the road. You see, I wanted to go to the fair, and he wanted a good tea, and so, you see, we swapped. And it would have been all right if I hadn't spent all my money and lost my return ticket.
Mr. Maddox had come out of the drawing room, and in the tense silence that followed Lawrence's explanation, he suddenly began to chuckle. His wife joined in, and their mirth grew almost uncontrollable.
Oh, dear, said Mrs. Maddox, wiping her eyes. Nothing does you as much good as a good laugh, does it? Well, that's the best tale I've heard for a long time. No, it wouldn't have been all right, Lawrence, because Sybil's got scarlet fever, and you've got to stop here a bit till your quarantine's over. Oh, well, that's all right, said Lawrence, who was evidently something of a philosopher.
He turned to William. How did you get on? Mr. Maddox began to chuckle again.
He got on beautifully, he said.
So your name really is William Brown? Said Mrs. Maddox to William.
Yes.
Well, you took us in nicely. I shall never forget it as long as I live. Now come in, all of you, and have supper. There's a cold chicken, and William didn't finish all the trifle and jelly at tea time, though he did his best. I'll ring your mother and tell her, William. Will you stay to supper, Miss Milton?
No, thank you, said Miss Milton coldly. She was feeling distinctly annoyed by the discovery of the identity of William and Lawrence. She had been looking forward to her first appearance in print, and had got a really striking letter on the subject of doubles already put together in her mind for the Daily Torch. They stood at the door, watching her prim, irate figure till it had disappeared from view. Then Mr. and Mrs. Maddox began to chuckle again, and Lawrence and William joined in.